Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty with Rita Dunaway, and today we're taking you on a very special heritage tour of Washington, D.C. No, this is not your normal tour of museums that line both sides of the Capitol Mall. This one is different because it focuses on the visible imprints of God's hand on the development of America. It's on our founding documents, on our three branches of government, and on nearly all of the memorials and monuments that appear on the mall itself. But why is it so important that we take this tour together? It's because it reminds us of who we are and where we came from, both as Christians and as Americans. And if we don't know that about ourselves or about our country, then it's easy for us to lose our way. And that happens all the time. For example, God repeatedly had to remind the children of Israel how he brought them out of Egypt, guided them through the wilderness and into the promised land. But what happened when they forgot? They began to worship false gods and quickly declined as a nation. And that is a warning for all of us. President Reagan, I think, put it very simply at a prayer gathering in 1984 when he said, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Well, let's get started. Fasten your seat belts. We're going at high speed. This is a tour to remember, and we're glad to have you with us. So, Rita, over to you. Get us started.
Well, Dean, the fact is there are so many visible imprints and recognitions of God in Washington, D.C., that it's almost hard to find a good place to start. So I'm going to suggest that we start at the point of natural beginning, where our nation keeps its official birth certificates. They are both enshrined in the National Archives, where they are referred to as our Charters of Freedom. And do they have God's imprint on them? Well, of course they do. So first is our Declaration of Independence. It has four references to God as our lawgiver, our creator, our supreme judge, and our protector. Right next to that is our U.S. Constitution that features a separation of powers and checks and balances. It's the operating manual, and in that operating manual inherently is a recognition of God and the principles that he set out for us in Scripture.
I think this is one of your favorite documents, isn't it?
It is, indeed. Those two concepts, separation of powers and checks and balances, reflect what our founding fathers believed and what is written in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the founding fathers knew that we needed this separation of powers and checks and balances to protect us against the inherent pride and selfish ambition of man. And we should also note, Dean, that the Bill of Rights, that's the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, gets special recognition in the National Archives. They are so important in this heritage tour because the free exercise of religion is the first right to be listed among those added to the Constitution. And for that reason, as you know, it is often referred to as our first freedom.
Well, Rita, that's a great place to start with our birth certificates. But we have to go to our next stop, the Library of Congress, to find our real founding document. Oh. It goes way back, long before the Declaration and the Constitution. And I know it will come as a surprise to many of us that the Bible was the dominating influence on the founding of America, and it helped shape both the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. In fact, its influence was officially recognized in 1983 when Congress declared it as the year of the Bible. Now, going back now to the Library of Congress, two of the earliest printed editions of the Bible are on permanent display. They're showcased in the library. Those two editions are the giant handwritten Mainz Bible, beautifully illustrated, and the first printed Gutenberg Bible, both of which were produced in the mid-1440s. Once again, we see God's imprint on America prominently showcased as part of our heritage. But in addition to those two great Bibles, the library also features statues of Moses and of St. Paul, towering over the main reading room of the library. And there are also several Bible verses inscribed in the border that wraps around the ceiling of the Great Hall, a beautiful Great Hall. One of the verses says, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not." That's from the first chapter of John. Another one says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." That's from Proverbs, the fourth chapter.
How appropriate.
Well, particularly in the Library of Congress, it's all about reading and knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah. Well, Dean, that covers the imprint of God on our founding documents. But let's move on to look at the buildings that house the three branches of our federal government. Since the first article of the Constitution refers to the legislative branch, let's start there with the Capitol building. This one has the most prominent displays of God's hand on America of all the three branches. It begins with our national motto, "In God We Trust," which is displayed above the entrance to the visitor center, also above the speaker stand in the House chamber, and finally above the south entrance to the Senate chamber.
In God We Trust. Rita, there's a little controversy, actually, about one of those. The architect of the visitor center put E Pluribus Unum above the entrance to the visitor center. Members of Congress had to chastise him, say, "That is not our national motto.
Wow.
It is In God We Trust. Change it."
Hmm.
And he did.
That's
why today you see In God We Trust over the visitor center. But it's an indication of the secularization of our culture, that they don't want to acknowledge God.
I am glad they put up the fight for it.
They did.
Good for them.
But moreover, I asked one of the guides for the visitor center a couple years ago, "What's our national motto?"
Uh-huh.
She said, "E Pluribus Unum."
No way. I had
to give her a little classroom lecture right there on the spot. But I'm glad to say, just a couple weeks ago on our last tour, I tested it again. "What's our national motto?" Immediately, this young lady said, "In God We Trust."
You have done your work well, Dean.
Well, just staying in the Capitol building, and as you said, this building has the most prominent displays of God's hand on America of all three branches. But in the rotunda is where it is so impressive. There are eight huge paintings around this circular rotunda. Four of those reflect our godly heritage. The first one shows the landing of Columbus kneeling in prayer on his arrival in the Bahamas. The second one was the baptism of Pocahontas, just a beautiful portrayal of her kneeling to be baptized. The third one shows the embarkation of the pilgrims. They were kneeling in prayer around the Geneva Bible as they prepare to board the Speedwell for America. And by the way, in a small corner of that painting, "God with us" is stitched into the ship's sail. Just almost invisible, but it shows their own spirit. And finally, there was DeSoto's Discovery of the Mississippi, showing a monk in prayer as a crucifix is planted on the banks of the river. Now, I just want to take you into one more part of the building, and other parts, actually, of the Capitol, in different rooms, Statuary Hall, for example. We see statues of many godly men and women. They include one of our favorites, John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg from Woodstock, Virginia. Our listeners may recall that he was a member of the Black Robed Regiment of Colonial Clergymen who took off his robe after a sermon in 1776 to reveal underneath the uniform of a Continental Army officer and marched off to war. There's another statue of Lew Wallace, the author of Ben-Hur, Marcus Whitman, who was a medical missionary to the Indians, carrying his Bible and his doctor's bag. Just beautiful statues of godly men and women around the Capitol building.
You know, that is just so impressive.
It is.
And just how significant it is that in the Capitol building, you know, this center really yes. of the federal government, because it's yes. the people's branch, you know, the most representative branch of government.
Let me add something that we can anticipate. Each state gets to have two statues mm-hmm. in the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. Billy Graham's statue is all ready to go as soon as he is.
Oh.
He is still living, and you can't have the statue unless someone is deceased. But they are ready to replace one of their existing statues and put in the statue of Billy Graham.
Wow. And I was just thinking about how incredible it is for anyone to deny the influence of God, the Bible, and Christianity on our nation's founding, when you see, you know, how purposeful it was
Precisely.
To recognize those things, even in the architecture of
Precisely.
Our government.
And we've got a lot more coming.
Yeah, okay. So let's move on. Article 2 of the Constitution, of course, sets out the executive branch. So let's talk about the White House, the building that houses the executive branch. John Adams was the first president to live in the White House. And he had an inscription engraved into the mantle above the fireplace in the state dining room. And it says this: "I pray heaven to bestow the best of blessings on this house and all that shall hereafter inhabit it. May none but honest and wise men ever rule under this roof." Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful, and it just struck me that that reflects what Jethro told Moses in Exodus. Choose able
yes.
men who fear God, love truth, and hate covetousness.
Yeah.
That's what he's describing right here. Would that it were always so
yeah.
in our White House.
Absolutely. Well, Article 3 of the Constitution, of course, sets out the judicial branch. So let's talk about the U.S. Supreme Court building. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how to describe this if you've never been to the U.S. Supreme Court building. But I think the technical term for what we're talking about is a relief. Mm-hmm. But what it is a three-dimensional portrayal, really stunning, of Moses as lawgiver, holding the Ten Commandments, and it appears in several places around the inside of the building, including over the chair of the Chief Justice.
And you know, when we were talking about the Capitol building, Moses appears several times there as well. Uh-huh. In fact, when the Speaker of the House looks straight ahead, he's looking at the face of Moses.
Yes.
Well, now we're really getting into the walking tour. This is going to take 20 miles, so I hope our listeners have their hiking shoes on, because we're going the length of the mall at various times. So a great way now to start in this walking tour of the mall is the Washington Monument. Mm-hmm. You talk about the Declaration of Independence as being the birthplace. Well, George Washington is regarded as the father of our country. The cornerstone of the Washington Monument was laid in 1848, and it includes our three favorite documents, mm-hmm. a Holy Bible, the Declaration of Independence, and the U.S. Constitution. Mm. But best of all, on top of the Washington Monument are two words that people never see, but they inspire me. It's the first thing that the rising sun hits every morning. Those two words, I'm going to give you the Latin and see if you can translate it for our listeners.
Okay.
But I love these two words, Laus Deo.
Okay, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Praise be to God.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
It is amazing. A simple monument, but those two words express George Washington's sentiment. Praise be to God for the way that he has providentially had his hand on the birth of America.
And so, Dean, you say you can't actually see them?
You cannot, but at the top of the monument, there's a little visitor center, a
yeah.
gallery up there, and there they have a replica
okay.
of the capstone.
Okay, so that's how people know about
it. One pastor found that that capstone had been turned around so you couldn't read it. Boy, he raised heck
wow.
with the Park Service, and they turned it back around so you could read those two words.
Boy, if you're the Park Service, you better be on your toes when Dean Welty and his tour group come to town.
And then the next one came much later. I said the Washington Monument, 1848. This one came in 1943, the Jefferson Memorial. There are four panels inside the memorial. Three of those contain explicit references to God. People talk about Jefferson as being a deist,
yes.
which means that God isn't involved in our daily lives. Well, It doesn't appear that way from what Jefferson wrote. Here's what is inscribed inside the memorial. Jefferson wrote this: God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His mercy cannot sleep forever. The author of our Declaration of Independence, who wrote these four references to God in the Declaration.
Right. Then we have the Lincoln Memorial with 14 references to God and two quotations from the Bible. It includes the Gettysburg Address, which states in part, "These men shall not have died in vain, but that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom."
Two words that now appear in our Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
Under God.
Yes.
Yep.
And from his second inaugural address, both sides read the same Bible and pray to the same God, but the Almighty has His own purposes. Fervently do we pray, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work that we are in.
You know, these words reflect what he reportedly said to somebody who asked him to pray that God bless America. And Lincoln's response was, "I am less concerned about God blessing America, but do we bless God?" It really reflects Lincoln's heart. Mm-hmm. Well, then there are two more memorials on the Mall. One is the Franklin Roosevelt Memorial. That was established just 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it includes a reference to the importance of faith, of hope, and of love toward our fellow man, and also refers to freedom of speech and of worship. Then the last one isn't really a memorial to a president, of course, but it's the Martin Luther King Memorial. That was established just 6 years ago in 2011. And even though it's not for a president, we include it here because it's to a person as opposed to some of the other memorials that we'll refer to. But it also includes a quotation from the Book of Amos, quote, "We will fight until justice," and here's the quote, "runs down like a river and righteousness like a mighty stream."
Mm-hmm. Well, Dean, let's move on and explore the war memorials in Washington, D.C. In Arlington, of course, there's the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which states, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God."
Yeah, and a lot of people would say, well, that's the only reference in the Arlington Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Are there others?
There are. The cemetery, in fact, holds the remains of over 400,000 active duty service members, veterans, and their families, and most of their tombstones are marked with crosses, Dean.
We just sort of blithely glide
through.
We do. We take it for granted, but it just reflects the character of the development of America as a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. That's in Arlington, a very impressive stop on our tour. Well, from there, we go to several other war memorials. The largest of those, and also the most recent one, is the World War II Memorial. And that was established in 2004. It features a display of 4,000 gold stars representing more than 400,000 Americans who gave their lives during the war. But there's one quotation from Franklin Roosevelt, who was president, of course, at the time, that refers to the importance of skill, faith, mm-hmm. and courage in pursuing the war. Now, this, too, has a little controversy because members of Congress said, well, he had a number of prayers mm-hmm. asking God to guide our nation during this time. And so they insisted that another quote be added to this World War II memorial. It's not there yet, but they have agreement to prepare it. And it goes like this. On the day of the landing at Normandy, Franklin Roosevelt prayed this prayer: "O Lord, give us faith that we might prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Lead us in the saving of our country that we might live in peace and freedom. Thy will be done."
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, we have a couple of additional war memorials, the Korean War Memorial, and Dean, maybe you can help describe this one for me because I don't remember seeing this one, but it has embedded crosses in the wall. Can you describe those?
Well, the crosses, there's also a Star of David. Mm-hmm. I think it simply reflects the faith of men fighting in the Korean War. Mm-hmm. But the memorial itself is definitely the most graphic of them all. Really? It shows soldiers in gray raincoats with their guns ready, going through difficult terrain, ready for the enemy. Mm-hmm. It is gripping. It is real life. Mm-hmm. It is incredible.
Yeah. Then there's the Vietnam War Memorial, and though there's no explicit biblical reference on the wall itself or at the statue of three servicemen or at another statue of three women comforting a wounded soldier, one of the women is bowing her head, which leads one to think the suggestion is that she is bowing in prayer.
Yes, the lady who sculpted this statue does not comment on that. Oh. She lets the statue speak
nice.
For itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rita, that really brings us to near the end of our tour. And now we have two final stops that one wouldn't ordinarily believe appropriate for a heritage tour.
Okay.
The first stop is the Bureau of Engraving and Printing.
Oh, dear. That doesn't sound very interesting.
You go through there, you just see money rolling off the presses.
Uh-huh.
But the surprise is most people will never see the imprint of God here at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. But in reality, it has more imprints than any other stops on the tour. Can you guess why?
In God We Trust. Yeah.
It is incredible. In God We Trust appears on all U.S. currency and has been for over 150 years. Now the Bureau prints approximately 25 million paper notes every day, spreading the word In God We Trust, plus over 13 billion coins each year, all bearing In God We Trust. And this is just a side note. That became our national motto in 1956, In God We Trust.
It's so interesting because whoever looks at their money and reads, you know, even I would not be able to tell you all of the quotations or images. You know, it's you just kind of don't even see it anymore.
And that's the whole point of the tour. We see things that ordinarily we would just pass by. We wouldn't pay any attention.
It's so good to reflect on the significance of all of this.
But now that brings us, again, to the point of this tour, the importance of God in the development of America. In its founding, I should say, though, I'm a little concerned that the more recent monuments don't have as many explicit references to God. They are fewer, and even when they're there, they're less explicit.
Which is disturbing, but not altogether surprising.
But it's troubling. Yes, it is. But now our last stop, Rita, and again, it brings us to the point of this tour. We're going to go to the Holocaust Museum. Now, where are we going to find God in the Holocaust Museum? You won't. That's the problem. Where there is no God, evil abounds. And that is why we have to always remember to keep God in our lives and in our country. If you look for God in the Holocaust Museum, it is only to see that people who worship God are persecuted and executed.
Yes,
by men who do not believe in God and who do not fear God.
And men who want to become gods themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, Rita, I know we just have a minute left, but that really brings us back full circle to the very beginning of our tour. You had the Declaration of Independence with the four references to God. But I go back to the Washington Monument. We're going full circle now to the beginning of our walking tour of the mall. The two words that are inscribed at the top of the Washington Monument, and I'm waiting for our listeners to tell us, what are those two words? Laus Deo. And I am so grateful for America's godly heritage and for the visible imprint of God's hand on our nation's capital.
I have to add that what we have just seen on this tour confirms what the U.S. Supreme Court recognized in 1892 in the case of Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States. After a lengthy review of America's history, Justice David Brewer wrote for the majority that these and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. And then, Dean, as you know, the court reaffirmed this in 1952 when it said that we are a religious people and our institutions presuppose a supreme being. That was Justice William Douglas writing.
I don't think there's any question that these are historic documents, our monuments, our memorials, confirm that America was founded and developed as a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. People still try to poo-poo that. They say it's just made up, it's fiction. Mm-hmm. Our founding fathers were secularists, they were deists. But the real question is, can we still claim to be a Christian nation?
It's a great question. And when people ask me about that, I usually respond that it depends on what you mean by a Christian nation.
Right.
Like you pointed out, and what we've learned in this tour today is that, as you said, it's indisputable that the nation was founded by Christians, by and large, and on Christian biblical principles.
Yes.
That is indisputable.
Right. But
we now are in the midst of a culture that wants to deny that. As a population, I don't think there's any doubt that, by and large, people are much less committed to those principles and have, in many cases, turned away from them. And I think, frankly, that's why we've seen a decline, and we see so many disturbing trends in our nation today. And so that's why I think this is so encouraging, and it's so good for us to look and see this is where we came from.
Right.
And this is what made us great, was our recognition of reliance and dependence upon the Creator.
And Rita, the message is for two audiences. It is for those who identify as Christians, but who have become complacent in their faith and silent in sharing their faith. That's one audience. But it's also to those who do not yet believe and have not yet put their trust in God. In God we trust. So I'm just imploring our own listeners to really remember the God who brought us to America and providentially provided for our establishment.
Yes. Well, this concludes our heritage tour, showing the ways in which God's hand is imprinted on the buildings, the monuments, the documents, and the memorials of our nation's capital. It truly is at the intersection of faith and culture in America. Laus Deo, indeed. If you would like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, go to our website at valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads at the homepage. We want to thank our sponsors at Blue Ridge Chimney Services and Scott Dunaway's Dental Practice, and we thank so many of you for your prayers, your encouragement, and your financial support. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to help keep Crossroads on the air, just send a check to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, 22803. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and engineer Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet.
Rejoice.